have a teachable spirit. Now, most people don't have that, and we just say, hi, how are you? Good to have you here, and we'll see you next week. Now, you know that's true. The Bible says don't correct a certain kind of person because they'll hate you. And I've just pushed that to the limit too many times. People yap, yap behind my back. Nobody really wants to talk to me to my face, usually, but that's neither here nor there. But anyhow, we want to make disciples. I have the luxury now of looking at all of you and asking myself, which one of you are disciples? Who's teachable here? Who will submit to the leadership of this church? Yeah, amen. There's two people, so I'm three. And my wife makes four, so that's not bad starting out. But we love you, and we have to be able to, without a feeling that you're going to leave us, talk bad about us, and do all the riffraff that people do, that we'll just be able to teach you. And we don't mind if you don't have confidence in our leadership here. There's about 65 churches here now. And somebody should be able to find one that they like somewhere. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But what God is looking for more than we, the leadership, is disciples. He wants to make disciples. Now, Kayla is a disciple. She started coming in her when her mother drug her in her when she was in her belly. It just got bigger and bigger. You know, one time, may I just share a little something that happened? I'll speak in generality. But Kayla had some relatives off just a little bit from her, and she started going to that church up there, and she started going on our church days. And so you know what I did? I said, Kayla, I think God may be calling you up there. You remember that, Kayla? And you know, I meant that in all sincerity. You know what this church doesn't want? We don't want anything that don't belong to us. And you know what? When it comes to money, and nobody likes to talk about it, we don't want your money. We want God's money. Yeah. It belongs in the church. Now, I've sat here quietly and listened to two or three different people with different ideas about that, but they don't line up to the Word of God. But the tithe belongs to God unless you're lost. You don't owe anything to God if you're lost, but the tithe belongs to God. And for the first 3 years of my salvation, I did not have a close teacher. I went to Pastor Jerry Fry's church in Calvary Community Church, I think it was called. Is that right, Millie? We got married there. And it was a wonderful church, but it was about 500 people. And I just didn't get to really grow. I didn't have anybody to disciple me. But, you know, we began to learn about what it meant to be a tither. I remember I got down. I had $5 left one time. Millie got sick, valley fever. The only other place to get that is in Israel. And there was some problems there when we first got married. We had a wonderful wedding. We had some nice booty came out of all of that. Everybody know what money. And by golly, Millie's sickness took every penny we had. I ran out of all the unemployment. I'm sorry. Out of all of the unemployment, right? Yeah. I ran out of all of that. And just left with the... I can't help but believe that there's a disciple in here somewhere. What did you say, Precious? We had fish sticks, and they put them on the TV because they were taking rubber and fiber matter and soaking it in fish juice and breading it. And we didn't know any difference. We were just kids. We just ate it. Well, we found out what they were doing. They were giving us bogus fish sticks because we could back then you could get a whole meal for about $2, including lemonade or iced tea or something like that. But one day I ran out of everything, and I I had a $5 bill. It was all the money I had in the whole world. This is the truth. And I sent that to Billy Graham. And this is how I felt. That isn't going to make me or break me. And maybe there's something more to this than what I know. And before he got his $5, I'd been looking for a job. I'll never forget, it was in the evening. Billy stuck her head out of our little house and said, "Ange, Patterson Frozen Foods want you to be in there at 7 o'clock tonight." And I was so excited. And I correlated in my mind, that happens because I made a demand on what was right. And then I began to learn what it meant to give. I used to watch the 700 Club at my break, Ben Kinslow and Pat Robertson. And then I began to learn what it was to be a tither. And Millie and I have been tithing since 1976. We've never missed the lick. You can't out give God. And the tithe belongs to the Lord. And it's one of the very few places that the Bible says, now the tithe belongs to the local church. So many people like to say, well, that's not a New Testament concept. Well, how do we pay for all of this? Does anybody have any idea what it costs to do this? It costs a lot of money. What'd you say, huh? You do. Yeah, you do. You do. And now, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me or test me. And Millie and I we were just young kids. And she started getting better. We had to give her those shots. Was that cortisone? Steroid shots. And she got better. And our finances got better. And we began to grow in our finances. And we've been able to tithe ever since. Now, you might think, man, all you're talking about is the money. Well, somebody's got to talk about it. So we don't have to have Pastor Kelly talk about it. She gets a free ride. I'll be the bad guy. But you know what? I'm a tither. Millie and I have been tithers. Larry Baker is a tither. Amen? Some of you in here, you know whether or not you're a tither. And if you're lost as a goose, you don't owe God a thing. You don't owe God anything because you're not part of the family. You're not part of, see, when you get born again, part of your salvation becomes, I'm going to spread the gospel. God has a local church I'm going to be in. I'm going to go into that church, and I'm going to begin to support it, and I'm going to do what the Word says. First, the Word says this. Does anybody mind me talking about this? Oh, I know you do. Will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? I'm going to ask on this side. Will a man rob God? You know, I'm pretty sure that woman right there is a tither, aren't you? Will a man rob God? And then he says, but you've robbed me. Lord, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Therefore, you're cursed with a curse. A lot of people really don't want to say that part. But see, if you're a born-again believer, if you start on your way of trying to release your tithe, then if you can say, God, and tell Pastor Kelly and tell me too, boy, I've been trying faithfully and it hasn't worked out. And I'll try to give you all your money back. Don't think I couldn't do it. Will a person rob God? Now, just hear me. And try not to talk about me afterwards. Let me tell you, I know what brings that on. My God. Will a man rob? Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. And this is the storehouse. That's a biblical perspective. So that there will be meat in my house. You know what that means? So the electric bill gets paid. So, you know, this food ministry, we pay for that. Now it's beginning to, we put a box out there and people give, and sometimes they give more than it costs. But that's just starting out. But that's what we do. See, we don't take have you seen my house? My house ain't no better than anybody else's house. It's just a house. I've lived there since June of 1986. We built two times on it. We don't owe a dime on it. We just had a straight line wind hit our house. And it cost more for that roof than it cost for my house and 10 acres. I said, Millie, Elizabeth, this is the big one. I don't even want to tell you how much. I didn't get any of it. My roofer got it. He was the best roofer I've ever had. But prove me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that will be so intense, so overwhelming, you won't be able to keep it all. It'll overflow. And overflow is what you, and then there's giving, and then there's almsgiving, which is doing good deeds. If you think you can do good deeds and that covers the tithe, no, it doesn't. That's not true. You know what covers the tithe? The tithe covers the tithe. Now, we know that, you know how many people we've helped in this church? My God. If I'm going to tell you that part, I'm going to tell you this other part. You know how many people this church has helped? I've raised three children that were not mine and given away cars and boats and everything else. You know why? Because it's come back to me, good measure, pressed down, running together. It's an overwhelming, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I didn't plan to do this. I don't mean no offense, but you know, there are some things that are hard to talk about. All they want is your money. All Brother Angelo wants is your money. My answer is, no, I don't. I just want God's money. We want God's money here. I know other people in here that tithe too. If I say too many of them, I'm not going to be able to say something about somebody else that I don't know for sure. And I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you what I do want to do. I want to encourage you. If you think at my age I would stand up here and lie to you about whether or not I tithe or whether or not it works, you are mucho loco, because I don't have any desire to do that. You know what I have a desire to do? If it'll work in me, it'll work in you. The tithe is full of magical power. It's living. It's a biblical practice. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that is actually immeasurable. And I'm going to just say one thing here. If you've got something to say about it, you don't like the sound of it, see me after church and tell me. I'll just sit down and say yes, sir, no, sir. Don't go behind my back and say it. Say it in my face. I should have been doing this on Sunday morning. There's more people. Can I tell you something? How many of us upset at me right now? Oh, you wouldn't tell me if you were or not. But let me just share this. Would you, everybody under the sound of my voice, would you just pray about this? Would you just pray about it? Would you just look in your Bible? And God loves you. God cares about you. And I'm telling you, we're going to probably get out about 7 minutes or 1 minute early, maybe 2 minutes late. But anyhow, I just really feel like, you know, I didn't think about this. I have a wonderful message here. You can see my notes. It's called When Trouble Comes. Starting at Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, When Trouble Comes. I'm just going to show you this here. Put Nahum 1:7 up there. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. That's the title of my message, When Trouble Comes. You'll love it when you hear it. He is close to those that trust him. There came a day in my life when I was very young and I had black hair and I was about 40 pounds lighter and my wife was sick. I'm going to tell you what I did. Like many of you, things was closing in on me. I didn't know what to do. So in our little town in Patterson, California, there was a little place where you could get assistance and stuff, just like in most towns in America. And they gave me a bunch of green papers, and I filled them up, and I was standing in line. And there's been a few times in my life that I feel like I've heard God calling my name so intensely that I thought I couldn't tell if it was in the spirit or if it was tangible. And I heard the Lord call me Angelo. I looked around. He said it again, Angelo. He said, son. I said, yes, Father. He said, if you'll let me, I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Now, I was in a welfare line when he told me that. I will take care of you and Millie, your kids, if you'll let me. I said, well, I'll let you. He said, well, okay. I said, what do you want me to do first? He said, see all them green papers in your hand? He said, see that waste paper basket over there? Walk over to it and put them in there. Go on out. That was about 1975. Never been in a welfare situation again. Never in my life. Have I collected unemployment? Yeah, I was in the union, for God's sake. I was in the plumbers union, the painters union, Ma Bell's union. I was a lineman, a cable splicer. I was a taper. I was a pipe fitter. I helped finish Max Steel. Built the five-story building on the campus there, the University of Arkansas, the engineering building, and all kinds of things. But I'll tell you what, I've never done. I've been young, and I hate to admit this, I'm starting to feel old. I have never seen. I have never seen the tither and the righteous forsaken, or his children or grandchildren and great children begging bread. I love you guys enough to tell you what others just really don't. I mean, it's scary to tell people this. People can get offended about this. Or you can think to yourself, what if that guy's telling the truth? I think you could talk to Ernie and Mary about tithing and they'd tell you straight up. But I love you enough to tell you the truth, and it's not easy. And I've suffered many blows. If you could see me in the spirit, I'm wounded all over from people that just didn't like what I had to say, so they were going to show me. And but anyhow, prove him. Test him. Try. Start out with 5%. Start out with 1%. You know, I didn't tithe until I was 3 years old. I'm now, since 1971, I don't even know how many years that is, and don't try to figure it out because it embarrassed me. But anyhow, you cannot outgive God. And if you want to go with God, Jill, am I lying? That tithe, I don't pay my tithes. I release my tithe to the Lord in worship. I'm worshiping. I'm just telling you the truth. And we love you. We love you enough. We'll never mention this. You know, people that have talked against this ministry, I've watched it, talked against my daughter, have come here with their hands out for food, and she's given it to them. You can't find a better, more giving, more loving church than this one. Can you find better ones? Yeah. Probably. Can you find bigger ones? Yeah. Is there other good churches in this city? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what. We're some of them. And what you just heard, Father, I'm asking you to cause this group here. I'm asking you to cause them to remember the parts of this that you needed them to hear. Now, I'm not going to talk about this again for 2 or 3 weeks. But I am going to say this. It's 5 till. I believe I can get us out of here by 8 o'clock. Everybody in here knows how to take communion. I didn't make that up. I got it out of the Bible. Let a man examine himself. Then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You see, there's power in taking communion.